Welcome to Maximize Potential, the podcast to educate and motivate through a range of original interviews designed to help you maximize your potential. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 14 of the Maximize Potential podcast. Thanks a lot for coming back and checking out another episode. Now, as you are all aware, our podcast is committed to bring you content that will help you maximize your potential, particularly within your career. And today's interview addresses one of the most important skills that you can develop to enable you to do exactly this, and that's communication. Being a strong, clear, and effective communicator is essential to excel, not just in your career, but also your life in general. And to help us understand how we can all harness the power of communication much more effectively, we have an excellent interview lined up with an incredibly experienced and successful trainer and coach, Kay White. So I hope you enjoy it, and here's your interview with Kay White. So hi, Kay. Thanks very much for coming in and joining us today on the Maximize Potential podcast.
Thank you, Kevin.
I think logical thing to do, let's tell people who you are, what you do, all about why you chose your profession, and more importantly, you know, maybe even introduce the basics about how you do help people maximize their potential.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the opportunity. And yes, I'm Kay White, and I'm a corporate and executive coach with a focus on communication. I started my coaching as a career coach based on understanding my own career path and what I loved about it and what I didn't like about it, and wanting to be able to direct that experience and information at where people were at in their own careers. I now work with people in groups and one-to-one basis, virtually sometimes the way of the world, around communication, positive, powerful, assertive communication, and how they get results through their communication. Interestingly, a lot of the time, their communication with themselves and through others, how they're communicating with others and how that affects their results.
And when you say communication with yourself, do you mean internal communication?
Yes, I mean actually the sort of conversations that you have in your head.
Yeah.
You have a crappy conversation in your head, your results reflect that sort of conversation. So how I got to today came from an insurance background, actually. I spent 20 years in the city, in the city of London. I started as a PA at 18, and 20 years on, I left the company as a director within property risks insurance, global. And through a combination of travelling for the company, meeting all sorts of people, gathering all these sort of different experiences, but not necessarily understanding that I was, I got to a point where I know a lot of people get stuck.
Yeah.
I got the salary and the bits and the big mortgage and all sorts of things. And I suddenly thought, hang on, where am I going with this? I'm 37 and I could see looming ahead of me the experience of sitting in that seat with a balloon off the back of my chair saying, you know, happy birthday on your 40th. And I was like, no, all I knew was I didn't want to do that. This anymore. I didn't know what I did want to do.
It's funny, isn't it? I speak to a few people and they say that it does reach that stage, particularly when they're in a strong, very traditional corporate career. If you don't make the break at that point, you know that you're in there for life, because the loss of what you're potentially giving away all of a sudden becomes so great.
Well, your mojo is in danger. Yeah. I knew my mojo was in danger. I just didn't know what I was going to do about it.
Mm.
So what I did do, which was a real learning, and anyone who wants to take whatever they can from this, I typed my resignation letter. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I just knew I didn't want to do this. So I walked into my boss's office and I flopped in front of him and I literally said, I can't do this anymore. I'm bored. I've done one renewal season too many. I don't know what I want to do. I just can't see my way out of it. And he looked at me and, big learning, he said, you're going to have to help me, because if you don't know what you want to do, how am I supposed to know what you want to do? And I had a kind of petulant attitude of, you know, floor stamping, and I can't do this anymore. I could have had a very different conversation if I'd thought, okay, this is what I'm good at. This is what I understand about what I do and what I love about what I do. This is what I bring to it. This is where I add value. how can we use this and actually redirect it? And how can I, you know, keep doing the do, to use that expression?
Yeah.
So instead I had the petulant conversation.
Which is almost like, it's not my issue. It's your issue. It's your problem.
Exactly. And he looked at me, and with the best in the world, as I said, you know, we had our moments. The only career he was really interested in was his own.
Yeah.
The only well-being, future, the dreams, the family life he was really interested in was his own. And I, in that moment, Kevin, handed over all my responsibility for my well-being, my future, my 40th birthday at the time, everything to him. And that was a big learning in that moment. And if I can, as I say, I share that with people widely, because it's like, you can avoid that, because you can think, what do I want instead? How can I help this person to help me? So I took, in the short version that we've obviously in this time, a lot of the learnings and then directed it at coaching.
Tell me about how you actually do coach people and the impact it has with them. Talk to me a bit more about that.
As a result of a lot of hundreds of different clients, hundreds of hours, notes, courses I've done, what I've discovered in how I get results with people to boost and ramp up their communication, writing personal statements, CVs, meetings, preparing for presentations, preparing for interview, these sort of communications, and again privately, how I get results for people can be broken down into 7 steps. I've discovered a system that was within my business, right under my nose. And it's a system I call the linking system. Linking your thinking, which has a nice ring to it. And we can link your thinking in all sorts of directions. But the 7 steps that constitute the word linking come from language. The L stands for language, the language that we use, the language that is translated from the language that someone is using, like the words between the words, the tenses. What did you say your name was? And it's like, well, my name still is Kay. When you hear people say that, I am now so in tune of how the difference it makes when we stay in tenses. If we put bad news behind us and good news, or keeping it in the present or the future, what will that be like when? How will it be when you fix that versus, well, if you were able to? Can you hear the difference just in that little nuance?
Yeah.
Really powerful. The I is for intention. What is your intention? If you ask yourself, what's my intention in my conversation with my wife tonight? What's my intention in my going into this meeting? What do I want from it? And also powerfully thinking about the intention of the people in the room. So if we think about intention, and again, these steps, there's a lot of different points within them, but ultimately it's easy to remember the 7 letters and what the point of them is.
Of course.
The N is for noticing, what you notice, what we notice about what's going on in situations. Clients and I bounce around, okay, so you did this, what happened? What do you know about what's going on with? What if, what did you pick up? We look at their language, all sorts of, the noticing is really powerful, and we notice far more than we know we notice. The K is keep to the point. It's a great one. Loads of us will have sat in meetings and wondered what was going on in the meeting because the point was all over the place. Yeah. And helping people to understand, and literally teaching people to understand the models, there are loads of different ways of keeping ourselves on point and then helping others to keep on point, keeping things moving. The second I is a biggie. That's influence, influencing. The steps within influencing. There are 6 key steps within influencing skills. We are influenced by things all the time, and influenced to move or not to move. And understanding what those steps are and then peppering them, literally like that secret sauce throughout our communications, wherever we are, hugely powerful and really exciting, because once you have it, it's like riding a bike. You wobble a bit at first. It's like, whoa. And then it's with you and you're off. And, you know, again, very exciting. The second N is for now how. Now, how do you write an email, and what's the difference between an email and a telephone call? The language that you use, for example, on Twitter is different from the language you use on LinkedIn, which is different from Facebook. But certainly where my clients are concerned, emails, letters, report writing, presentations, they all have different skills within them of how to use the language that we've already thought about. So can you hear, Kevin, how they kind of start to all link together anyway?
Yeah.
And the G is for good ideas. And the G constitutes a number of tools, techniques, secrets, exercises I've done, books that I've read that I share and pepper throughout the linking system with people. And doing this in both large groups, working with people one-to-one, and again, helping them understand where they're at within that system and which part they're working on and where we can use other parts to help boost the results. And also working virtually these days, teleseminars, things like that. It's fantastic to have the system as well, so it's made a big difference.
What's the impact that your coaching has had on various people's lives, you know, at all levels? Because you've spoken to me prior to this interview about the sheer diversity of people that have come to see you or people that have been recommended to come to see you. What sort of impact are we looking at?
Better relationships is a very easy summary of it. Going in and actually thinking, okay, now I understand a little bit about how you're operating when you're sitting opposite someone in a meeting or an email pops up on your... Okay, as opposed to one of my clients actually said, shooting from the lip. He, in fact, now looks at it and thinks, okay, let's translate some of this and let's run it through, slow it down a bit, and then think about how I do this versus shoot from the lip.
Mm.
And of course, however you write or however you do it, that's what you're saying something. And so better relationships, more flexibility, more assertive. Some of the results people get still amaze them. And I'm, just thrilled for people. A series of people they've been interviewed. We worked on their interview skills.
Yeah.
Getting in touch with their skill sets again. Some of them had never, hadn't been interviewed for about 20 years. Looking at personal statements and thinking about how to direct the skills that they know about themselves through their personal statements. And certainly all the ones that have been interviewed have been promoted and appointed, reappointed. One of them hadn't had an appraisal for probably about 10 years and was actually quite concerned about how that was all going to go and really what to say about himself. How do I even talk about myself? I don't know. But of course, by doing a number of exercises, asking some people around him in a very different way to the old 360 tick boxes way, we came up with all sorts of great language that describe him and that he can actually... Okay, yeah, that is me, authentic, that word of being able to say, okay, well, I'm the sort of person who I'm able to, these are the sort of things people say about me, this is what I know about me.
And these examples you're talking about, these were senior people who've been in careers for an awful long time, but because they have been in a career for an awful long time, they were really out of touch with having to pitch themselves, having to understand who they were. So this was very much like, let's really help you understand that.
And also, Kevin, in there, which is really interesting, you say the senior people, often the more senior the person, the more scary things can be because there's so much at stake. People assume that word. They assume that you know everything. They assume that you're going to be able to do this and be able to say that and fix this. And often they've kind of got one set of skills that they've sort of learnt by doing are often promoted out of what they're brilliant at. Working in a broker, a lot of the brokers were promoted into directors, sitting in offices, managing other brokers, when they actually love broking.
Yeah.
So this whole frustration that often goes on, and the style that you had as a broker was so different to the style that you had to have to be able to manage people, that I have worked in the industry that I used to work in, and I still have clients now as a result of understanding what's going on the, if you like, coal face, and what's actually going on in the boardroom, different energies, different styles.
Yeah. That leads me on quite nicely to something I was going to ask you next, which was some real, almost practical starting points for people, because I imagine that there are some real key triggers that are affecting a lot of people out there right now, whether they're in a traditional career, whether they've reached a bridge, whether they don't believe that they deserve a promotion, or whether they've just been made unemployed and they've got to actually get back in the job market. are there some starting points that you see time and time again that tend to be the first hurdles, the biggest hurdles that people have to overcome before they can start unlocking the door to actually step through and start addressing this new life for themselves?
One of the things I so want to share with you and your listeners is the power of one of these pesky little banana skins that get literally slipped on all the time in communication. A three-letter word, but. But's so powerful. You can hear it, you're waiting for it. That report was brilliant, thank you. But it was too long and it was a bit late. So you're left with, it's too long and it's a bit late. That cake was so lovely, but it's too fattening for me. And so, you know, no more, thank you. That meeting was really useful, but golly, it didn't go on a long time. Now, understanding that the word but, literally, when I'm working with groups, we have a big picture of a pencil with a big eraser on the end. Because but, when you hear it, you're waiting for it, is an instruction to the brain, straight to the brain, erase, ignore what I said before, but. So can you hear how powerful it is?
Yeah, I've never considered it. And you're also making me extremely paranoid sitting here interviewing. I'm suddenly thinking, what have I just said over the last 20
buts?
Minutes? Have I done anything negative? That's really...
Well, Kevin, what's good to have in here? And literally, I throw it to people and they catch it. It's up to them. But the point is, until you know about it, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Once you know about it, you have a choice. And just if nothing else from this, when you hear yourself about to say the but, flip it. Either say and, because and becomes a bridge. That report was really good. And it's a little long. And then you give a so at the end because there's an action to it. So cut the end off a bit or tone it down by about 50 words and we're there. So can you hear the difference? You're left with...
Hugely, yeah.
That cake was really lovely and a little fattening for me. You know, enough for me, thank you. However, and at the same time, you're left with that. Now, however, I was wanting to throw that out there. However, it's but in a cuter outfit. It still has the same effect. So that report was great, or that report is great. However, a bit long. So you're left with a bit long still. So there are two ways of easy ways, and quick and easy is always good. Either flip it, so you say, that report was a bit long, but it was really good, thank you. So you can think, okay, they've got to get the message that it's a bit long.
Yeah, so you're using the but word, but you're making sure you finish on a positive.
Yeah, stick the kind of out the front and then finish
okay.
with the good stuff.
Yeah.
Because if you understand that people ignore or either they're left with the good part, they'll still remember that the report's a bit long, but they'll know that you like it.
Who understood this? Is this NLP thinking? Is this where
I learnt this very clearly and literally remember this with NLP. Yes, I've done a lot of NLP study.
Because we've had a couple of other people who've been on the podcast talking about the impact that NLP has had within their lives, within their careers, within their personal lives.
My world, really, and still does.
Wow.
I went to the States to do some of my NLP training.
Yeah.
I still go to the States, and I work with a lot of people in America now, which is fantastic, both clients and colleagues. And the learnings from NLP are just, yeah, they still mean a lot to me
and
all the time.
And these subtle things seem to have huge implications.
Absolutely. So with your but, just if nothing else, if you find yourself starting to, you've said it, you've already put the good stuff out, use the and. If I can give one more little kind of go for it.
Yeah, give me another.
Another three-letter banana skin.
Yep.
Something that can literally trip you up and actually change the whole sense of your conversation with someone is the word not. I'm going to give you the more powerful one because I had a couple to choose from there. Not. If I say to you, Kevin, I don't want you to think about pink elephant wearing a tutu. What's the first thing you have to do to understand what I've just said?
Well, I've just visualised a pink elephant wearing a tutu myself
exactly.
And I can't get that out of my mind right now. So
however you process not thinking about it, which is probably, what is it in your case? If I tell you not to think about a pink elephant, with a tutu on.
My mind has gone blank. All I can
see is a pink elephant.
Yeah, that's all I can see. The fact, because that's what you've, in my mind, visualised. I haven't got anything else in my mind right now.
Absolutely. So can you hear how powerful it is just with that example?
Yeah.
You know, don't think about how much work this is going to be, or don't think about how long or how hard this is going to be. You can hear people are immediately So again, a little bit like when I sat down all petulantly with my boss. Don't, what I don't want to do, what I can't do anymore, what I don't and can't, do not, cannot, there's all got not, that pesky not bolted onto them. Tell them what I want instead. When you are saying what you don't want, or what people, I don't want to confuse things with you, and I don't want this to be too difficult for you, you're actually planting the suggestions that it could be confusing and that it might be difficult for you.
Yeah.
So again, the quick flip is, what do I want instead?
And it's this expression of reframing that I've heard increasingly often with people that have studied NLP. They reframe the way they put something across to put it in a way that all of a sudden helps to lead to positive outcomes.
Absolutely. Can you hear how, I know you can, and your listeners can. Can you hear how powerful that is wherever you are, saying what you want versus all the time what you don't want?
The thing is, and here's almost my negative, but there's a reason I'm going to say this.
Go for it.
Thinking historically back on the UK and the way that British people have been brought up, you can almost understand why they approach things with the negative, because it's almost that ingrained attitude that's been put into, you know, you don't deserve to have this opportunity, you don't deserve. Whereas over in the US, I can fully understand why they're teaching and why they're such ambassadors for it, because you're indoctrinated over in the US to believe that you can achieve, that you do deserve the opportunity.
Yes, I do. I mean, golly, the amount of times we all, with the best one in the world, interviewers on the television, all over the place, you hear it all the time, and this is the thing about the noticing. Once you start to notice these and pick up on, okay, how are people positioning things? Well, actually, yeah, they're putting out all the stuff that they don't want, and actually, boom, that's often what they get. Yes. The cup gets spilt. You know, don't walk on the grass. I hadn't thought about walking on the grass, but you've actually said you don't want me to do it. Actually, that's quite a good idea. Versus keep to the pavement, please.
Yeah.
Now, if you can translate that simple example into the next time you start to type the word don't, can't.
Yeah.
You know, people that say, I can't get, and I can't do that for you. If you're coming from what you can do instead, or what you will do instead, as an angle, instead of saying, I can't get that to you by Friday, you've got, I can get that report to you first thing on Monday. Okay, that sounds quite assertive, because I've actually ignored the Friday. And it's also very effective, because the person can say, well, actually, okay, well, if it's Monday actually doesn't work, what about Friday late afternoon? Because it's all like, if I say I can't do it, I stop the conversation, I stop the discussion.
And the way you described it, particularly when you use those very, very practical examples, that I'm sure now you've
highlighted. Yeah, just in the L, and just little tiny parts of the L.
That's really going to help people. And I could then understand when you related it back to the email, because email is... I can imagine that it causes more problems than it solves.
It's scary, actually, and I know your listeners, it's so easy to go, bam, back to a direct question that someone has clumsily written, or a statement that someone else has clumsily, and you go, bam, back with your own. And again, one of my clients has a great expression, masterful inaction. She parks things, ruminates on them, decides whether they're urgent, often phones if they are, versus bam, shooting from the lip, and also operates from masterful inaction, where she will wait. You reading that, often you think that person's venting or something's going on with them, and instead of going back thinking you have to, it's like a question, you don't always have to answer a question, you get the choice.
That's very true. You often feel pressured to answer, don't you?
A lot of my clients who often are promoted out of, as I said, the business where they kind of got all their expertise, have this sort of note on their door that says manager or director or senior director, and they think they're expected to know all the answers. And actually what we do together is help them to understand how to ask great questions, because just because you're asked a question you get the choice whether you answer it. For example, you know, I don't know what to do this, you know, what this is that and that has happened. So and so has phoned, and so the boss in the office is sitting there, and so we learn, okay, so tell me a bit more about that. What have you done so far? If I was on holiday, what would you do? Who else knows about this? If you were receiving that, or someone else was asking you about this as an issue, what would you do? Just those sort of, and being comfortable enough to ask those questions so that you redirect their energy of, oh, help, help, help,
yeah,
back at them. And of course, you then become the person that helps them think things through, and they come up invariably with ideas, if not the answer, ideas, and you help them by linking their thinking through the questions that you can ask them back.
Which, of course, is a far more effective long-term way of reaching solutions and helping to empower other people and helping to develop staff around you. So, yeah.
And helping them, to use your word, which are great words, maximise potential.
Yes.
You have that potential sitting in front of you. If you fire off, just like with the child, telling them what to do all the time. Sometimes we need to be told we need the answer. Sometimes, though, and we instinctively know, there's something that else that you know that you just haven't given yourself time to think about, that you're panicking. How can I help you? Slow it down, think things through a bit, and off you go and do it. And the next time, you know the answer.
Excellent. Now, you touched on questions, and we have questions.
Mm-hmm.
What I did prior to us meeting up today, I actually threw out just the fact that we were hooking up and that you were going to be interviewed for the podcast, put it out on LinkedIn, Facebook, and a few other places, and came back with an abundance of questions. And I think what we'll have to do is probably be a bit selective over how many we answer, otherwise we could be here for quite a while. Now, the first question that I've seen, which I actually, before we sat down, I wasn't actually seeing too much relevance in whether we could answer it, but now we've actually had the communication, particularly in light of you saying about your moment of desperation and how you landed it on your boss. We received one question from an IT contractor, and from the way it's written, I believe he's currently living and working abroad, but wants the opportunity to come to the UK.
Okay.
And his question is, what's the best approach for a Java developer to convince a UK company he deserves to be sponsored?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Now, bearing in mind, we've got an awful lot of overseas contractors looking to come over to the UK. I can probably say that whatever he's feeling is probably being felt and resonated by quite a lot of other people.
Absolutely. Well, hearing the question, and also, well, when I work with people, when working with people, we will think about the language that they're using and the effect it has. And from the question, I can hear all sorts of things within that question that pop up for me. I would answer that and say, well, why do you deserve to be sponsored? And that question, why? What is it about you and what you do that is going to be of value to the company that you want to sponsor you? Because everyone filters, and the more you realize this, we all realize this through WIFM, that famous channel, What's in It for Me? The more you realize that people are always filtering through that to be able to understand how they can either use or help or pass on or work with through information. When the Java developer is thinking, as I say, trying to convince, if you hear the word convince, you can hear the struggle. Deserves, it's like there's an assumption that they deserve.
Yeah.
So when you talk to the time, the three most valuable resources that we all have, time and energy and money. Time and energy produce the money. And as we're trying to either save or get more of all of those three, if the Java developer is able to angle his approach to the UK company about the value he brings and how much either time, energy or money that he is going to either save them or make more time for them, more money for them, that's how he can angle
it. I see what you mean. It's almost like, it's turning it around, isn't it?
WIFM.
it's instead of it, because to me that question is very generalist. What you're saying is, well, no, actually turn it around and almost pitch someone directly. Go research that company, and give them a specific proposal to say why they should employ
you. Absolutely. What's in it for you?
Yeah.
UK company is this. And just from those words, which is why it's so powerful, again, working, and I'm going to give your listeners an opportunity here. What's so powerful is when we look at language and what actually people are saying, convince, as I said, that's implying that there's a struggle going on.
Yeah.
And that he deserves.
Mm.
And also sponsor. Again, that word is a mixed word. So thinking about the language that the Java developer is using and how he's best approaching, there is another approach that's probably better than that one.
It's a great response and off a probably a very innocently written question.
Mm.
But it, again, it just shows you the power of language. And
well, I hope, as I say, with the opportunity we're going to throw out in a minute, Kevin, that if the Java developer is listening, go for it, because the opportunity's there that we're going to talk about that maybe they can take advantage of.
Perfect. And we'll come back to that. Let me move on to the next question. Right, okay, the next one. Here we go. Okay. Having been unemployed for a couple of weeks, I've begun to use LinkedIn as a networking tool to look for employment. And after scouring the internet for career-changing tips, how do you, in inverted commas, brand you?
Ooh, what a good question. How do you brand you? Well, in the time we have, clearly, and also, you know, for the benefit of a lot of people versus just the one person here, one of the quickest ways to brand you, to understand how you brand you, is to ask yourself, what do I want people to say about me when I'm out of the room?
Ouch.
Ooh.
Well, that's scary.
Because let's be honest, the language that people use and how they describe you is your brand.
Mm.
And there are a number of ways that I work with people to find that out in a very useful way versus in a kind of, you know, horrid way.
Yeah.
We use it to actually build up those personal statements. What do people actually think about me? But if you ask yourself that question, what do I want people to think about me and say about me, more importantly, when I'm not in the room?
That's very powerful.
I'm outside
actually.
Of the room.
Yeah, it's just scary when you first actually think about it like that, because that's almost... You almost don't want people talking about you when you're outside the room.
Well, and
you?
Also, Kevin, when we're honest with ourselves, which is clearly, you know, that's what it's about, we kind of get an inkling of if we know we're a bit pushy or a bit aggressive or a bit, you know, we know that inside us, and it's often easier to ignore it, we think.
Mm.
And actually, in reality, it's not, because it will come and trip us up another time. It's tricky.
True.
So to answer that question is initially with that, have a go with that.
And so literally crystallise those thoughts about what words, what phrases you would want to be described.
Absolutely.
As, referred to. And
then how do you get there? And if you're thinking, well, actually, am I inspirational? Am I assertive? And how do I, what am I doing when I am that? Or what do I want to be doing to literally have that in my brand?
And then start putting that down on paper, on your LinkedIn profile.
Absolutely.
And joining groups accordingly and projecting yourself in that manner.
Yeah. Read a lot. Do what you're doing as well. Ask people what they're doing, how they do what they're doing.
Mm.
There's always a method that goes on behind what you see at the front end. There's things that are going on, the way people position themselves, their beliefs in things, as you know, the people you've interviewed already, what's happened to them in their lives that makes them brand them. So that's a great question.
Yes, and probably one that applies to a lot of people, particularly those who are having to face an unexpected career change due to last year's economic environment. I think what we'll do is, with the other questions, if it's all right with you, I think I would like to be able to reply to people privately, because I think we'll be here for quite a while answering them. So if that's all right with you, I would like to be able to get back to everybody.
But
I think we'll call it quits there. And you mentioned a bit earlier that you'd like to leave everybody with an opportunity.
Well, I know how powerful the system is, and I know also how stuck people can feel, or also how sometimes it's like, not quite sure where I'm at or what the next best move is. And I'd like to offer your listeners an opportunity. In fact, I'm offering your listeners an opportunity to ask to have some time with me, complimentary, a one-off session. And I call it a strategy session, not a coaching session. It's very much a where are you at with this? What's going on? What's actually happening? How can you, what are you doing? A strategy session. So for your listeners, if this is something that they're interested in going in a bit deeper with, and again, going to a site, www.linkingyourthinking.com/strategy. Literally, linkingyourthinking.com/strategy.
And we will have that link actually on the webpage anyway. Great. As well, so that will make
okay.
it even easier.
Well, what pops up, Kevin, is the opportunity to apply for a strategy session. And I have to say apply, because in the past, again, we will learn, a lot of people apply, and there is only clearly so many hours that I can deliver these one-off strategy sessions. Yeah. And by applying, by saying the word apply, it also offers people the opportunity, if they want to apply, they have to fill 8 questions, powerful questions, useful questions to ask yourself. And from submitting those, their responses, I get a sense of where they're at with things. We use that time together far more effectively because they've done a bit of the thinking already. Even if it's all things that they don't want, we can start to build a sort of, okay, well, what's actually going on in this situation, or how can we redirect that? And so, as I say, by filling out and saying apply, up will come a button to press for a survey. And all that is going to be are 8 questions.
Yep.
Fill them out, press submit, and then within 24 hours, I get back to you about your strategy session.
Wow, that's excellent.
And if nothing else, asking those questions, asking yourself those questions that will pop up when you hit apply will help.
Okay, thank that's you. Superb. No, thank you. I think we covered some great stuff today. And for me, it's been enlightening because you've highlighted to me just how obvious certain things are in your everyday business and personal life that you can easily just turn around and turn a negative into a positive. And equally, mm-hmm. how you can be very flippant in communication.
Yep.
And your communication.
Shooting from the lip. It's a great one, isn't it?
Yeah, very true. And I like what you said about how the person who you were referring to earlier just takes a moment, shelves things, mm-hmm. gives a chance to reflect, to process, to think.
Exactly. And you know, as we just said there about kind of flipping it, instead of saying, I'm not going to do anything, I'm going to ignore that. Masterful inaction has a different energy about it. And we talked about the power of energy. If you're taking some inaction, you're actually doing it consciously versus trying to forget about it.
Yes.
It's a different way of thinking about it.
Yeah, definitely. And I can see that your conscious decision there, it's still mulling over in your mind. It's helping your brain process it. So when you actually do address it, you feel you're addressing it in a far more proactive and informed way.
Absolutely. And interestingly, actually, with that masterful inaction, she actually says that often, because it's parked, and maybe and you should do it within 24 hours or take some action or make some form of response, often the phone will ring or another email will come back apologising or actually saying, well, I've looked into it a bit and actually this is what's actually happened.
Interesting. So it'll correct itself without you having to...
So suddenly you're the person that sits and waits versus dives straight in.
That's wonderful. And the crystal one, which I thought was excellent, you don't have to answer a question.
You get a choice, Kevin.
Never even occurred to me. It sounds crazy. Never even occurred to me. Someone asks you a question, you feel like you have to answer it. I particularly like that one.
Great.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
So, thank you, Kay, for providing such an insightful and practical interview to help us all improve our communication techniques. That was absolutely superb, and so was some really awesome information that you shared there. I have to admit, I've not at all worked out what my mojo is or how to keep it or what the danger is of losing it. But I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that do understand what your mojo is. But if you don't, hey, you're not alone. For anybody new to the podcast or you've joined us in more recent episodes, I should say, may I suggest that if you found this interview beneficial because it was very much around career development, that you go back and listen to episodes 2 and 3 of the podcast, which also addressed the whole career development subject matter, and specifically how you could maximize your potential at job interviews. So I have to say those are two of our episodes that are downloaded in abundance every single day. So if you are considering a career move right now, then you may well want to go back and listen to those. And the other thing, of course, please remember to take advantage of the very generous coaching offer that Kay spoke of. all you need to do, come to the Maximise Potential website, click on podcasts and go to episode 14, and you'll find a link to Kay's website there. Finally, the other thing I want to mention is remember that the sponsors of this podcast, the Generate Recruitment Group, are one of the best multi-sector recruitment agencies within the UK. So I'd urge you, if you are considering a move, please go and check out their website. You'll find a great range of jobs and also career advice tips there. Again, we've got a link to their site in the show notes. And I'm going to leave you today with a lovely little track from Xerxes called Upper Hand. So I'll leave you with that one in a minute. But before I go, preview of the next episode, we have an exclusive interview coming up with former Olympic and world champion rower Greg Searle, and we're very excited about that. I won't tell you much more, but the interesting thing is Greg is mounting a serious comeback into the sport with the view of representing GB again at the 2012 London Olympic Games. So tune in very soon so you can listen to that. Okay, anyway, I'll leave you to it. Thanks again for tuning in to Maximise Potential, and please enjoy the music from Xerxes. Bye-bye.